You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to My Vagina. This is Jessie Caron.
And I'm Rebecca Frank. And here we are again having our current historical, hysterical, infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched.
Just kidding, you fools. It's definitely researched.
Seventeen real-life would-you-rathers I, a woman, have had to ask myself. So the first one is, would you rather have a career or a family?
Oh, God.
I pick career.
Career?
Yeah. Why do I have to pick one? Yeah. That should be the real question.
Yeah, you know?
Katie Hadigan has this great joke. She was just on Colbert where she's like, you know, women can't have it all, career or family, even though it's two things.
Right?
And like, women are so used to multitasking everything.
Yeah.
But we're literally asking for two things. Like, can we have a stable family and a stable career and not get fucked for having one or the other?
Right.
Or shamed for one or the other.
Right. I refuse to answer that question. Well, I want both. Right. But I want career right now first.
Right. So this is why it's so funny, because these are all just, this is super tongue in cheek. So a couple down is, would you rather be called sweetie or ma'am?
Ugh.
I'd rather be called cunt.
Yeah. All right,
there you go. We can open this up.
I hate both. I hate them so. I'll
take ma'am. I hate being called sweetie by an older man. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, sweetie or honey, it's like diminishes bitch, you. Please. Yeah, I would pick ma'am too.
And ma'am is like so associated. I think we're taught to be angry about that because it means that you're an older woman.
Mm-hmm, associated with age. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd pick ma'am too.
This list is so good. Would you rather shoot literal botulism into your face or look your real age, you hag?
Oh, I do. I already told myself when I get famous that I want to Botox. I have like wrinkles on my arms that I want to Botox. So I'm going to do literal botulism in my arms.
I hope one day like our society can get comfortable growing old and being cool about it. But I also realize that we're a vain fucking society. And if you want to get botulism in your face, fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy friend who did it the other day and he was like, I didn't want to tell anybody. And I was like, why? Fuck it.
Botox actually used for migraines and stuff now too, which is awesome. Yeah, this girl that I know was getting really bad migraines and she was like, can you tell there's something weird with my forehead? I was like, no girl, your forehead looks great. And she was like, well, I got Botox in it for my migraines and it really works.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
No clue.
I mean, and the other thing, I mean, I've thought about it, I don't know that I would do Botox necessarily, but I do think that if, like, I really like my boobs, and I think that I would probably get a lift.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would do
and
that.
I do. I love my tits, too. Yeah. Like, I love them.
Yeah. And if I felt like maybe they'll change and I'll still love them the same. Who knows? But if I'm like, if I don't like looking at them anymore because and maybe it's societal shit, but you know what? That's fine. Sometimes I'm just gonna be like, you know what? It makes me feel better.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna fix it.
Okay.
That's okay.
Do you guys watch Gilmore Girls ever?
No.
I used to.
Okay. There's this one episode where Lorelai realizes that maybe everything that she's seen or everything she likes in her life is because her parents hate it. And I feel like right now, especially women are in this like area where we're trying to figure out, is this societal that we feel this way, societal conditioning, or is this just what we really fucking like? Like, she's eating a Pop-Tart, and she's like, do I like this because this tastes good, or because my mom said, fuck no,
and
I can't have this? And I feel like that's what it is about, like, how we feel about the way that we look and, like, what we want for the future, like, body-wise, mentality-wise. And so I think that's a lot of what this is right now, like, actually, no, I fucking want Botox because Gwen Stefani does it every 3 years. And like, fucking look at her.
Look at
that.
Yeah.
She's like,
oh, bitch.
79. Yeah. Well, she's not. I don't know how old she is.
But still. Maintenance is something we all do. We all cut our hair and put on, you know, yeah. we wear the things that make us feel sexy and comfortable. Yeah. So I feel like as long as you are actually happy with yourself and you like being with yourself.
Yeah.
My mom keeps saying that, like, should I get Botox? Should I not? And I'm like, if you feel like you want to, then do it.
Yeah. It's literally, what do you want to do? Yeah. Like, we have to, like, stop and, like...
Is it
like,
for you?
Yeah.
Is it and for you and you, thing, like, how you feel in the mirror?
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I was talking to someone about this over the weekend. Women, specifically women, as we get older, are invisible. I do not want to be invisible. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what it takes to not do that. I don't know if that's going to change. I don't know if talking about it will make it different. Like, I'm cool being an old lady as long as I can wipe my own ass. But, like, I just don't want to walk down the street and feel like I am completely unimportant.
Invisible. Yeah. And I wonder if that's a very American thing, too, because I do think, like, America is very mm-hmm. bad at, like, taking care of older people. Yeah. And so I think we all are very afraid of, like, getting old. And that's one of the reasons, too.
Can I also just say that, like, in this room, I find it really difficult to think of any of us being
right. That's, like, why you were laughing over there.
She's very opinionated. You talk about sex all the time on stage, and I will just show my boobs to anyone.
And you're wearing a uterus necklace, so
yeah, which looks great.
Thank you.
The bodysuit, I love it.
And I knew my mother would recoil at the very idea of me having a Pop-Tart. I could just picture her a Pop-Tart, and so I had one, and I opened the little silver wrapper and I took a bite. And I thought nothing had ever tasted so good. I thought it tasted like freedom. It tasted like I was my own person. The Pop-Tart tasted like freedom and rebellion and independence.
Wow, that's some Pop-Tart. What flavor was that?
So we're here with Natalie Wall, and she is the host of Awkward Sex in the City.
This is true. This is a thing. I never know what to say. I'm like, yes, correct.
Yes. Yes, it sure is.
We're going to
tell us about Awkward Sex in the City.
Yeah. So there's two versions. There's the monthly New York show, which is like always just different comedians coming on and telling awkward sex, dating or relationship stories. Yes. And then there's the touring one, which is, it's the same people that go, and we have like very specific stories that we tell. But it's like the same group when we go to like D.C. or Baltimore, Boston, or wherever we go for our tour.
I can't wait. I was like, yes, I get to talk about sex.
Yeah, you should do it. You guys should both do it.
I'll do it.
Oh my God, yeah.
I have so many weird sex stories.
Yeah.
What?
I'm not an onstage kind of gal.
You know what? Some people aren't, and I get that. I wasn't. I had like crippling stage fright until I think like junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And then it was just gone. And I was like, ooh, now I want to be this. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. On stage, I am the most comfortable I think I ever am in my life, let alone like being with like family and like very close friends. Meeting new people and doing specifically one-on-one conversations, I like break down and like cannot handle the pressure of like actively listening and contributing and remembering this person. Like, I am so awkward and so shy one-on-one new people. Like, this was fine because it was like 3 or 4 of us. And I was like, okay, cool. But oh my God, absolutely not. I can't, like, the one-on-one, it's like the intimacy of it. And I'm not in control anymore. On stage, I am in control.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so now I have to like really, really be there. And it just like fire ants through my body.
Yeah.
Like, I can't handle
like
it.
Like having to pick up that silence.
Which hence the awkward in Sex and the City. I was like, no, like, I'm just so fucking awkward. And it comes into every part of my life, including sex and dating. So
yeah. I love that.
How did you, like, when did you decide to turn your show into a podcast?
Probably 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I kept being so afraid of having to do one-on-one conversations that I kept just like not doing it. But I just realized that, yeah, it just goes back to like getting as many people out there and being able to feel seen and heard about like their stories, because this show is now almost 5 years old and I've never heard a similar story from different people.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's always awesome. Different. It's always like you, like the things you hear, you're like, holy shit. That's never happened to me. Like, holy shit.
I've been listening to your show for the past few days.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love it.
Thank you.
It's awesome. It's weirdly comforting to me.
That is what a lot of people have said.
Yeah, because it sounds like a conversation that I have with my girlfriends. And so I feel like I'm at the table with you.
Aww.
You don't sound like awkward at all. And it's just really refreshing to hear women so openly talking about sex, because there's such a taboo around it in our society. And
absolutely.
And in general, and also if you're a lady, you know, and you want to know how many knuckles your girlfriend stuck in some guy's ass, it's like weird.
Yeah, and it's like, it shouldn't be, you know?
Why are you withholding from me? Tell me what happened.
Tell me everything.
You know, tell me everything. Why are you keeping this from me? But, you know, in our society, we get shamed for either talking about it too much or not talking about it at all.
You're the Madonna or you're the whore. My mom definitely had like a very overbearing mother with rooted in like huge like Catholicism, Catholic guilt. And I'm also, I think I talked about this on one of the podcasts with Anita, but my grandma's crazy, like legitimately crazy. And I'm pretty sure she has borderline personality disorder and also likes ladies, but was not born in an era where that was like allowed. So not only does she really hate men, but she like really hates women. And so my mom had to deal with that for her whole life. And so I'm pretty sure she just decided with me that she was just going to tell me everything. This is what it is, blah, 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 right out the gate. We were talking about sex when I was like 7. And so it's just always been a very like open and normal thing. So when I hit like high school and around a lot of other like women and men, and all of a sudden there was these weird stigmas and stuff, I was like, I don't understand.
It's like, this doesn't compute.
Right. And then Sex and the City came out and I was like, this is the best show ever. And then that just became like the dream. I was like, I want to be Carrie. I want to write about sex and relationships. Now rewatching it, that show is problematic as fuck.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah.
Holy shit. But it's still crazy how even like, what was that? Like 10, 20 years ago, that was 20. So fucking progressive. Yeah. Cause it was before September 11th. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, think about like the West Wing, for example. I have a hard time sitting through the West Wing because there's so much misogyny in it, but it was also, or like Mad Men, I can't watch it. I understand it's a period piece and I understand it makes sense in the time that it's expressing, and I get that the West Wing was written in the 90s and the 2000s, and so it reflected the language of the time. And so like Sex and the City was before, I mean, certainly there were like, we were all young. And
oh yeah,
you know, so that's one thing. But it's like, as a society, Twitter wasn't around, so we didn't have access to people that aren't in front of us all the time. Mm-hmm. So we weren't having these things brought to our attention in terms of racism and other stuff that should have been talked about. I'm sure there were people talking about it, but not in any media sources that I was reading.
I mean, I still watch Friends, but it's hard because it's like a petri dish of like racism, misogyny, and homophobia. And so sometimes I'm like,
it's crazy.
But it still has its value, I guess, is the point.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a little bit nauseating sometimes.
It still has its value. It taught us a lot. Like Samantha taught us everything we ever need to know about, like when she was like, I'm a trisexual, I'll try anything. It's like, yep, that's called pansexual. This is like a real thing. Like, let's talk about it. How they handled like bisexuality was awful. Carrie dated that dude. And that was their main like bisexuality episode. It ends with them playing Truth or Dare, and Alanis Morissette lands on Carrie, and she was like, oh, you got a girl, spin again. And then she was like, no, like, we're gonna kiss.
Yeah.
And then she was like, this is how I feel about bisexuality, as she like writes and she's smoking out of her window and stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was not good. But you know what? At the end of the day, it did start the conversation.
It started that conversation that we needed back then.
Yes. Yeah. I ideally want to go back to school for human sexuality because I just feel like it's never gonna stop like what you learn or what's happening or what's growing. And I think that's really important that like people, especially if you want to learn about it or talk about it, like it's just a responsibility you have to be as knowledgeable as you can. And I think right now, I think that's the only thing I'm really nervous about, not putting like my literal sex life out in like every platform possible, but making sure that I'm telling the right facts about things. When like with things like this, or with Awkward Sex in the City, the podcast, or with my show Sex with Your Mom, the adult sex ed game show, it's like you have to research. Like, people do not know things. Don't fuck it up. Like, don't. To them, this is the monologue I have to myself. Like, you don't want to give them wrong information.
You can be funny and respectful at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
And you're fighting against the wrong information, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And so you want to make sure that like, if people are coming to you for something and you're not an authority on it necessarily, but you do want to make sure your information is correct, because we all know, as we've talked about here a million times, there's not, the access isn't there. The information's not there. People aren't being taught early enough. And so if people are finding their own media sources and we are those media sources, you know,
you want to be there. Right. Yeah. Are you guys the friends that everyone tells you everything about? For the most part, they're like, oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, that happened. Oh my God, what is this like?
About sex?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's a huge honor. It's like a huge honor and a huge responsibility.
I have a guy friend. He gave me like the nicest compliment the other day,
because he's polyamorous. And so he was like, you're so non-judgmental. I know I can literally talk to you about like any sex act or any relationship that I'm in. And, you know, you'll not only be happy and celebratory about it for me, but you'll also be cool with it. So I really, that made me feel real fucking good.
Oh yeah. I love that.
More the relationship stuff people come to me for, but not the other stuff really.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. You're a good person to go for relationships.
She's like, done it.
Yeah. I feel bad. I definitely lean on that a lot.
Don't feel bad.
Like, hey, let's talk about this for the 168th time, okay? You know that thing that happened? I want to repeat it until it makes sense in my head again.
You know what? We've all been there. There's always been like that one thing that we just want to keep talking about it until it sounds normal, and then you say it enough, and then you're like, oh.
Every time it gets better.
If you don't get it out, it just keeps replaying in your head, and that is not good, you know? Like, being on that fucking,
that loop.
Hamster wheel, and you're just lying in bed like, ugh.
I assume you're the person everybody comes to.
I absolutely am.
Yeah, I am.
Has been that way for as long as I can remember. Because I actually didn't lose my virginity until I was 20. So my mom was a registered nurse. And like I said, she was like super open with me. Like she would be like, you need to have sex before marriage, sex with more than one person, like preferably at the same time. So she also then would tell me in high school that the pill and a condom and me and my brother are still here. And I was like, there's no way in hell. Like, this is actually a bit. It's like, mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way in hell that she's not lying to me. Like, there's no way. She'd sell me everything else. Mm-hmm. Turns out she was fucking lying. But, of course,
yeah.
You're using a condom, you're on the pill, you're fine.
Certainly not twice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. One time, I don't know, maybe, but not twice.
Yeah, it turned out they weren't using anything. They, and it was with my dad, so I guess it's fine. But, like, the first time, I think she, they weren't using anything. And the second time, the pill was making her feel fat. So she went off the pill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So total bullshit. But she said that to make sure I didn't have sex.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But she wanted you to have sex before marriage. Just not in high school.
Yeah.
So when I confronted her about it, I was like, are you lying? She was like, yeah. Did you have sex? And I was like, no. And she was like, good, life fucking accomplished. But I had told myself, I was like, I'm not having sex in high school because fuck these dudes. Like, I do not care about any of them. And then in college, I was like, I'm not having sex until 8 months before I graduate. So that way, just in case something happens, I still have a diploma before I have a baby.
Oh, my God.
And
that's
also, your
awesome.
Mom basically told you condoms don't work.
Yeah, totally.
She told me pills don't work.
She's like, you're fucked, basically. You're going to have a baby. So just know.
Like, I imagine sperm with, like, their boxing gloves on. Like, you know, a katana sword. And they're like, fuck you, condom. Just like rips through it.
We're coming in.
Speaking of awkward sex, I don't know if I should bring this up, but I really want to. I don't think my mom listens to this.
Oh yes, do it.
But my dad told me, he always forgets, but I kind of believe him. Sorry, Mom, I love you. But he told me the other day, we were having a drink, and he goes, I got your mom pregnant on the first time. And I was like, I know, you've told me. You don't have to tell me again.
You're like,
and
I'm good.
Yeah, and he goes into greater detail about his sperm. And starts telling me that they have helmets because they can work their way through anything.
Oh my God.
Why I'm here.
They're like worker ants.
Yeah, and he wouldn't stop saying it. I was like, I get it. Your sperm are strong. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Oh my God, your dad
oh my
is
God.
So funny.
He also alluded to the fact that I might have a brother. And I was like, could you give me more information? He's like, she won't tell me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Like, for fuck's sake.
Wow.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Pa.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. I love it.
This doesn't surprise me, having met him.
No.
Well, it's not the same, but both of my parents have seen me perform my awkward sex stories.
Yes. Really want to know how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're very cool with it. Like, which awesome. I find, like, if you ever meet my dad, like, he's very, very, very quiet. He's from Danville, Virginia, so very quiet, southern, very reserved. Turns out he was the one that helped my mom be not sexually repressed anymore. Supposedly he's the one that's got, like, the super high libido. Mm-hmm. Would have had no clue. I really hope this is not the one episode he listens to. So he'd be like, why are you telling people? Because you would never know. Like, you never guess. You'd never see it in him.
So
like, we would never
ones.
Have a conversation like that ever.
Right.
Yeah,
my family's weird.
I love it.
I mean, my mom wouldn't have that conversation with me.
Okay. So, yeah, we're flipped. Like, it's just my mom is like, well, here we go. My mom has seen multiple ones. I think my dad actually saw one of the worst shows of my life. And it was in, like, a very badly lit venue, so I was just making direct eye contact and I was like holding the microphone, and I was like, it was like my second tour show ever, and I was like, I hope this works out because this is a bad story for all of us if it doesn't.
Right. What were you talking about?
It was my first sexual experience in New York City, which basically was a one night stand of a guy that was like definitely coked out on a lot of different things. He was just like a crazy, crazy person. And I remember just being like, OK, this is not a good moment in any part of my life. Welcome to this knowledge, Dad. Don't worry, I got a degree at least. Yeah.
And I'm here. I'm OK.
I'm here.
Yeah, and my mom's heard that story, and she's also heard the first time I had sex with my current boyfriend, I got explosive diarrhea.
Oh, no.
So she heard that story. It's a great one. Not, like, on him or
anything. Okay, that's what, like, I was imagining.
I made it to the toilet.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, for you. I mean, it happens.
Sometimes your butt just wants to do what it wants
to
do.
Yeah, it's living its own life. Yeah. I mean, listen, I've got all kinds of problems with my butt.
That was the politest way you could have said that.
I have another show called Awkward Poop in the City.
Oh, that's my show.
You should do it.
Oh,
women come on it and say it's so liberating. Because I always book female heavy because, of course, we're never given times to talk about poop. Yeah. More sex. So we should 100% do it.
Which is why I love your show. Because I was like, yeah.
Normalize this, please.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's so kind of what I figured out as I got older. I pick taboo subjects for women to normalize them. Mm-hmm. So we have sex, we have poop. And the next one, me and my friend might be doing about religion, how religion has fucked us up a lot. Because, like, I went to Catholic school, born and raised Catholic, so I am a hardcore atheist. No.
Four questions for you, but you went to a Catholic school that made you go to pro-life rallies, right?
I did.
Ooh,
yes.
I want to hear about that.
Yes, I did.
First of all, tell me about that. Second of all, I want to talk about farting on somebody's cock. And then also I want to talk about taboo of sex. I'm just reminding myself.
Yeah. I love this list. God, I blocked it out of my memory. We had to do stupid, stupid retreats too. Like, we had to go like to the DC Cathedral and do like a 3-day retreat. And it was just awful. I was in middle school. I hated it. I remember there'd be kids, like girls, like older than you, like trying to eye fuck these guys and be like, well, if you're not on your period, like, or if you're on your period, you're not going to get pregnant. And I remember being like, that is not true.
My mom told me all of these things.
Right.
Like, okay.
My favorite story from that. So the school was really, really, really small. Like, my graduating class in eighth grade was 14 kids, 12 girls, 2 dudes. So hormones were fucking crazy. But
as they usually are.
And now you only have 2 boys to go after. One was my best friend. I was like in love with him. Remember when like 3-way calling was like a big thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a friend.
Made those mistakes.
Remember the phone bill the first time and your parents were like, what the fuck is this? Because it cost like 75 cents per phone call or something.
Oh, I don't remember.
I feel like I just used to get phone bills. They used to charge you for like star 66 to sneaky call people.
Yeah.
Star 69.
No, star 69. I thought it was star 66. Was it star 67?
There were two. There was star 69 that you could call back who just called you. Yeah. And then I think star 67 was you could do
one.
Anonymous.
Yeah. That's the one.
When you would call.
Yeah.
Or it would come up like private caller or something.
We went back to the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
No, well, this story's in the 90s. It's, my friend, I'm not going to say her name. I'm gonna call her Molly. My friend Molly had like a very like strict family. Mm-hmm. And so she would call me and then I would call my friend's cousin who was a boy. And then they would talk on the phone. The Catholic school found out about this. And her family was so fucking crazy that I took the bullet for her. I was like, oh, it's me talking to the boy.
Mm.
I almost got suspended.
For talking to a boy on the phone?
Mm-hmm. Not on school grounds.
Wow.
On a weekend. And then it turned into like a 3-hour phone call with my mom. And I think at that time, one of my teachers. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. Like, I'm in so much trouble. My mom got off the phone and was like, this is fucking bullshit.
Okay.
You can talk to whoever the fuck you want. And then,
Jesus.
And I don't think I ever told her like who it was. Cause I was just like, just make sure Molly doesn't get in trouble. Yeah. But it was just like, that is when I knew something was wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm talking to a guy, like, and I'm pretty sure my parents already knew too. I'd be like, I'm on the phone because I could. And so that's when I knew. Actually, no, I knew really I wasn't into religion when they told me my dog was gonna go to hell because he didn't have a soul.
Oh my God.
Who told you that?
Oh, a nun. But the current pope was like, guys, that's not true. They'll be up there with you guys. Like, the current pope is very like, no, we want you back.
Yeah.
So all those lies you heard aren't true.
Oh, bullshit.
I don't know. My family was always sort of goofy about it. It's like I had to go to Hebrew school because my grandpa was very important to my grandpa. So we all got bar and bat mitzvahed. It was always very clear that my mom converted before I was born. And one of the things that she said was, she didn't put it exactly this way, but she was like, Reform Judaism is what's up. It's like sort of like pick and mix of religion.
Oh, okay.
Like you don't have to do it all. You just make it work for you.
That's
you know,
what religion should be.
Do what works for you. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. like take the morals that work for you and put them into your life. And I busted recently one of the biggest myths, which was, okay, we're at the beach, sandbar. Right? Okay. We're at the okay. sandbar. So we walk, like an actual sandbar. So we walk through, we go swimming, and then there's a sandbar there. And I realized Jesus did not walk on water. He found a sandbar, you guys.
A fucking sandbar.
It was a fucking sandbar.
What a fucking liar.
That's
right?
A genius.
Ding.
Oh my God. There was a cultural anthropologist, Ernest Becker, who said that sex is such a problem because it reminds humans of their basic animal nature.
Huh.
And so I guess because humans deal with mortality concerns by embedding themselves in cultural symbolism and immoral beliefs, so religion, mm-hmm. heaven, and animalistic physical behaviors kind of threaten the thing that we use to confront our own mortality.
So like any sort of thing that we don't have control over that like ties us to this place means that there perhaps is no afterlife. There isn't anything that we're working towards. We're here now. And when time is up, time's up.
We're worm like, food. Yeah.
Yeah. If you get hit by a bus when you turn 78, which is my dream, you're just dead.
Be specific.
Yeah. I imagine as I get older, that will change.
So funny. Most people just want to die in their sleep. And Rebecca's like, yo, I want to get hit by the B-65. I wanted to know what your other reactions to talking about your personal life on stage has been outside of your family, because they seem super supportive.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. So my mom and my dad and my brother and like sister-in-law are very, very open about it and cool with it. I have had a family on my dad's side who are very like Southern Baptist, very religious, like defriend me on Facebook, like don't talk to me because I talk about it. And then my crazy, crazy grandmother, like one of the last times I saw her, because she's like blocked on my phone. I have not.
Wow.
Last time I saw her is because she went crazy at Thanksgiving and me and my dad drove her back up to Baltimore. And I like put her in her stoop and was like, this is the last time I'm seeing you. Mm. But that weekend, she was like, why do you do this? Why do you think this is okay? Do you think women are funny? Like, do you think women want to talk about sex? And I was just like, yes. Yeah, I do, Granny.
Yeah, you're like, and I have all of this evidence to prove that I have people wanting to do this. So clearly women do want to.
Yeah.
So like for the most part, it's been very, very, very positive. I'm going to jinx myself, but I've never had a heckler. I'm not going to
win.
Wow. Never. Because it's awesome. In the title. If you're coming to this show, you know what you're fucking getting. If you don't, you're a dumbass.
You're stupid.
And I don't care about you. It's just that. It's like the family, like those family members, which I honestly don't give a shit about. And I think mm-hmm. my parents don't like that I've so quickly disowned them, but I've never judged them for their like religious background. So fuck you for judging me on what I want to do with my career and like pretending like you've never had sex when you have multiple kids.
Right.
Like, fuck off.
Where do you think they came from? We all know the crane's not a thing.
Right. Like that's what I don't get. Like why deny this thing that we all do and love, like porn? Like why do we deny that we love porn? Porn's great.
Yeah.
Stop pretending like it's a bad thing. We all fucking watch it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We spoke with this really awesome person, Lee, and they were talking about speaking to people about sex workers. They do a lot of sex worker advocacy work, and they were talking about it and saying that one of the things that they always try and bring up when people are arguing with them about how prostitution or like sex work shouldn't be legalized and all this other stuff is they're like, well, do you watch porn? Because if you watch porn, then you're participating in
sex work. Yeah,
exactly. And so like, are those people just not supposed to have any protections? Do you want that to not exist anymore? Do you want it to be less safe? Do you not care? You know, it's a really interesting.
Oh, that's
approach.
A total like ace in your back.
Yeah.
Pocket.
Yeah. I loved it.
That was great.
Welcome to My Vagina started the origin story, which I'll go into in a more eloquent way, but next time. But the origin story of Welcome to My Vagina happened years ago and years before I even started the web series. It was me and my girlfriends were sitting around a table talking like kind of the way you and Brittany were talking about our sexual encounters. And also, you know, I think one of us had a queef happen. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about these things openly and honestly because I'd been friends with them. We're very close and we were all pretty comfortable with our bodies, you know? Well, for the most part, I was not so much younger, much more now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but totally fair. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, we were talking in a crass manner, I guess, according to this man. And he like kind of passed us by and was like, women talk about this? And I was like, the fuck? I was like, welcome to my vagina, bitch. Honestly, that's how Welcome to My Vagina came about.
That is amazing.
I didn't even think about the web series until years later, but it kind of stuck in my head because it became like an ongoing joke.
Of course.
You know, I think the guy was a friend of ours, but he kind of looked grossed out and was like, women talk about this? And I was like, yeah, motherfucker, we talk about it. What you talk about it, so why wouldn't we?
Yeah,
why the fuck are we not?
Think that women talk about all the time.
I don't know. But, you know, and then I have received a lot of negativity, probably because it's online. And so, you know, for the web series, we have a lot of bad comments. We've had a little bit for the podcast, but I don't think people have caught on yet. We're ready for the hate mail. Mm-hmm. But I do know, like, I've had a lot of roadblocks for having a show called Welcome to My Vagina between family members and boyfriends.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Some dudes are not okay with it.
No.
Yeah.
No, he was not comfortable with me talking about sexuality, and particularly mine, in a public, personal way. And it was very shaming. And I still feel that way sometimes, where I'm like, this is who I am. I feel very comfortable naturally talking about sex and my sex life. But occasionally I'm like, oh, this puts me in a category of that type of woman. Mm-hmm. You know, and rationally, I know that that's garbage because, yes, I am that woman and I'm proud to be, because it's amazing and I'm sexual and I'm comfortable with my body. But in, you know, that irrational societal box in the back of your head, you're always like, oh, this guy doesn't even want to look at me because I'm tarnished.
You're the co-owner of a story if you have a sexual encounter with another person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, putting it out, of course, you think about things like not giving the person's name. You know, you don't want to put the other person's name out there without their permission.
Which I'm really
presumably.
Bad about doing, and I have a lot.
It's hard. It's hard. I keep a blog, and so it's easier in that context because I can like go back and edit and stuff like that. But you know, I do try to be as anonymous as I possibly can about, you know, who all I'm talking about. But I feel like there are stories. If we want to fucking talk about whatever the fuck we want, we can, as long as we don't like, quote unquote, incriminate another person. I try to ask people if they're cool with me using their names, and if they are, that's great. Anyone who thinks that they can censor our sharing of our own stories is like, they can just shut right up.
Yeah, honestly, they're not an ally. They don't understand what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
If people really want to censor you like that, friends or boyfriends or girlfriends,
family,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not a blood is thicker than water type of person. Mm-hmm. Like, I also come from a military family, so like it was just that core group for like my whole life. I don't think it's affected me that much as it may for other people. Like, I've just been like, fuck it. Like, you weren't there. Whole life, like, why should I care now as an adult when I'm doing something that possibly doesn't go with your standards?
Yeah.
If you're toxic to me, like, if you love somebody, you're going to be supportive of what they love.
Yeah.
And if you're not, and you're a toxic person in my life, I don't give a fuck if you're blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And like, this whole idea that like what we talk about should like reflects poorly on people in our family is fucking nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, you only think that because you're so small that you're so worried about what other people think about what the fuck I'm doing. Like, don't worry about
There's
it.
There's a lot of projection. Yeah. There's a lot of, I think, like, jealousness of being so open. I think a lot of people really truly don't get to do that. And I think there's a lot of just kind of like stuntedness, like emotionally and mentally, a lot of ways, which it's probably maybe one of the douchiest things I've ever said. You're just stunted.
Yeah. But if it's true.
I'm curious what the stand-up world is like for you as a woman.
So that's actually a really interesting question because I'm bad in groups, I've kind of stayed away from the stand-up crowd. Like, I'm not really a part of it. And I'm not really a part of the storytelling crowd either. I kind of was like, I'm just going to do my own thing, which I've kind of done my whole life, where I was like, I'm making this show, I'm putting it on tour, because I put it on tour like 2 years into doing comedy. And I remember being a lot of people being like, this is going to fail. Like, you're not ready. And I remember being
I fucking hate when people tell other people that.
All of those people are not in my life anymore.
Yeah.
So because of that, I kind of haven't really experienced that much of the stand-up world. And I haven't experienced that much of like the storytelling world, because they are very separate. The New York City storytelling and stand-up crowd are very different. Like, a lot of stand-ups are like, storytelling is not comedy. And a lot of storytellers are like, fuck you. And I'm one of those storytellers. Like, have you not seen Annette? It's fucking hilarious, but also makes you think, oh my God, is that just because comedy can be smart and funny and brilliant?
Right.
Whatever.
I don't think I'd feel comfortable going to stand-up comedy because it just doesn't feel that safe to women, by and large.
I do think, like, open mics have a huge reputation for being the worst. I haven't done an open mic in, like, 5 years. The biggest red flag you have to look out for is if you are going on a date with a dude that's, like, say he's a lawyer or he's, like, works in PR. He just has, like, he has a normal job, and he finds out you do comedy. He's like, oh, yeah, I've always wanted to try. It looks fun. I think I can do this. And you're just like, are you kidding me? You don't understand, like, how much I've sacrificed, like, stability, this, like, everything. And you're going to be like, yeah, I just want to do it as a hobby.
Flippantly,
like, so flippantly. Just like, nope, go...
Fuck yourself.
Choke on a chopstick. I don't know. Like, just
choke on a chopstick. That would be hard. I don't know. I like. I really don't enjoy bartending particularly.
Are you a bartender?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a very long time. But I do get really irritated when people are like, "Oh yeah, I just thought I'd start bartending for extra money." I'm like, I will literally destroy you.
I was a bar back last year because I was super poor, and my friend like got me the job, and it was the hardest job of my life. And I also got so sexually harassed there by bartenders that work there. And then you get out at like 3 a.m. and you're walking to the train, and then
more
you
danger.
Got weird dudes like trying to talk to you, and you're just like, oh, now I'm paying for a cab and like losing more money. Like, this is the worst.
Yeah. But sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do it.
Fine. Go ahead. Have fun.
Yeah. Go get a dollar tip when on a $75 bill.
This one, I was wondering if I could impose and ask you an awkward sex story.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yes.
Oh wait, me tell one or you tell one?
You tell one. I mean, I can tell. I'll back you with my cock fart story.
Yeah.
I almost said fart, like Staten Island.
Aw.
Shut up.
I think I want to hear you. Okay, I mean, fine. I totally can.
It was an ex-boyfriend from a few years ago, but we weren't dating. We were just kind of fucking around, and it was maybe the second time that we had had sex together.
Mm-hmm.
And as he told the story, and he didn't tell me this for like 6 months, and then finally... He was like, can I tell this story? And I was like, sure. I don't really know what it is, but sure. I'm comfortable. And so he's telling our friends, and he said, you know, I'm lying in bed with you. We just had this really amazing sex. He's like, I'm thinking how, like, you know, I'm stroking this, like, beautiful girl's hair, and I'm so happy. And then, and he goes, and that's when I realized you slept farted on my cock. And I had no idea.
That's so funny.
And awesome. I was like, oh, you still dated me.
How long did you guys date for?
Oh, 2.5 years.
My favorite part of my two shows is there's so much fucking crossover between poop and sex. So much. Hashtag anal. I just feel like the first 3 months of any relationship is literally just holding in farts. It's just like a constant stomach ache. Because we're like, we can't. Like, you can't know that I'm human. You can't know that, like, air comes out of my butthole. My boyfriend, Aaron, I remember, like, the first 3 months dating, like, I would wake myself up farting and be like, oh, no, did he hear that? Like, oh, no.
I totally think I did that on the plane this morning. Just
you woke yourself up from a fart?
Yeah, totally.
I do it pretty often. Yeah. I'll be like, who was that?
Yeah, thank God I nicely brought the class to first class.
Yeah. Oh, did you fart in first class?
I think I might have.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes,
oh
girl.
I'm not sure.
My friend did that recently. She was in my bathroom, and she was pooping, but she was on the phone with her boyfriend. And so she was coming in there, and she was like, do you have, and I was like, matches? Did you poop?
Oh my God. He
heard it, and she was like, I was trying to keep that a secret. We've only been dating for a month. And I was like, whatever, girl. He knows you poop.
But like, how many times? I mean, I know I've done this a gazillion times where you start dating somebody, it's the first few months or like month and a half, and you stay over their house a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I'm a morning shitter. I mean, I have really bad stomach problems. So, like, I basically just shit constantly from like when I wake up until 1 in the afternoon. But.
Oh, we can talk. We can talk.
Yeah. But
my dad's got IBS.
So,
I've got something.
Yeah, me too. So many times that I have been at a dude's house and like had coffee and breakfast and then just been like, oh my God, I'm about to shit
in
everywhere.
Yeah.
And just like painfully waiting for them to like drive me home so I can run up to the bathroom and just like explode.
See, I'm such a fast pooper that I just, the last bit of it will be leaving my asshole and I'll flush the toilet. So I just, in my head, if I flush it,
the smell won't
within
be
3 seconds, it'll be gone.
Like it never existed.
Yeah.
See,
it's like if you
speed
standing up, like you like lose like weight or something. Like I used to always say that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Jackie. All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Shut your stupid mouth, Jackie. Like
I poop fast because it's usually an emergency. But having, I think, probably IBS, that shit stinks.
Yeah.
So like that's... And I think it's actually only in my adult life, because I was thinking about this morning. I was like, when did I start planning vacations or like sharing hotel rooms around like whether or not other people would be hearing my poop or smelling it? When did that happen?
That's like a thing. Girl, we're the same. Like, my dad cannot be anywhere unless there's two bathrooms.
Mine too. Mm-hmm. Do we have the same dad?
We might. Wow. Because they're like, you never know when it's going to happen. That was the other thing my parents were very, very, very open about. And I have learned there are two camps. There's two family camps of either like you are like fecal friendly family or you never talk about it. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad, like every morning, like my dad poops and my mom will like be putting on his makeup and then they'll switch. Like my mom will poop and then he'll put on his makeup. But they'll be like in the same, they're in the same bathroom, like throughout the whole thing.
Wow.
Like we've been we used to joke about it so much that finally my mom was like, you have to stop getting him fart birthday cards because he doesn't want to be the fart dad anymore. And I was like, but he is the fart dad.
Yeah, it's too late. Once the fart dad, always the fart dad.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
Have you got I remember my grandma being like, I don't eat nightshade vegetables. And I was like, the fuck is she talking about?
And you're like,
and
oh,
now I'm like, yo, she knew about the nightshade.
And you just put her in a corner and was like, goodbye, grandma. This is why we take care of our elders. They know.
They know. They know about nightshade and all kinds of stuff.
Well, I think it's over. I should never have farted.
Jesus, Carrie, that's it. I've heard enough about the fart. It's not the fucking fart.
I know it's not the fucking fart. I think I'm in love with him and I'm terrified that he's going to leave me because I'm not perfect. What if he never calls and 3 weeks from now I pick up the New York Times and I read that he's married some perfect little woman who never passes gas under his $500 sheets?
When did you get so obsessed with being perfect?
I don't know. It's something about him. I mean, he should see me around him. I'm not like me. I'm like together, Carrie. You know, I wear little outfits, you know, sexy Carrie and casual Carrie. Sometimes I catch myself actually posing. It's exhausting.
Well, then stop. Why don't you show him more of this Carrie? She's pretty great.
Yeah, what if he doesn't like her?
You write for Redbook and you wrote a lot of stuff about semen. So could you throw some semen facts out?
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Ugh. I know that it's one of my favorite articles I've ever written too, because I have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze reference in it. But I do love writing for Redbook. It has been one of the most, the greatest learning experiences of my life. Like the amount of stuff I've learned about sex and just having like so many people be like, thank you for like talking about this. Because like Redbook is an old ass magazine too, and it was not known for like talking about sex so openly.
Right.
Yeah, so I said, sure, sperm helps make babies, but what else do we know about jizz? Let's all get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on this junk and find the secret of the ooze. My favorite line I've ever written in my life. My favorite, which I think people really forget, is that semen is acidic and it will burn your eyes.
I liked that fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, my friend, who she's doing the podcast tomorrow, one of the first stories she ever told was the first time she had sex, the guy like jizzed on her stomach and she didn't know what to do. So she like played with it on her stomach and then she like touched her eye.
No.
Yeah. And that's when she found out. No. And so that's always been one of my favorite facts, because it's like, no, don't put that in your eye.
If semen tastes good to you, that you might have a zinc deficiency.
Yeah.
Because that has never happened to me. So I guess
I've never had it taste good either.
Which a lot of women do have a zinc deficiency, so it's like important to know, because it like can really fuck up your body. Mm-hmm. I also love that semen has a bleachy smell, and it's only because of spermine, and they don't know why spermine smells bleachy.
Weird.
Yeah, like I always found that really, really interesting.
Do you guys know about sperm trees?
No.
Okay.
What?
I mean, they're probably not called sperm trees, but in Philadelphia, there's like a few streets.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. And you walk by and it fucking smells like semen.
Yeah. In the springtime.
When they bloom.
Yeah.
You walk by and you're like, motherfucker, it smells like somebody just whacked one out.
Kind of like our ginkgo trees. Have you ever smelled a ginkgo tree?
That's what it is. I think it's ginkgo trees.
Oh, okay. They do smell awful.
These are like pink flowery ones. They're beautiful.
But they stink.
But I think it's ginkgo. If I remember correctly, a stay-at-home dad told me about them. In Central Park, they were a gift from either China or Japan to us.
They
literally suck in toxins, which is part of why they smell.
and they expel semen.
And they expel semen. You can get pregnant if you put a ginkgo. That is the seventh fact on this article. I feel like I'm totally full of shit though. That'll be in the episode notes. I remember them being like, because especially like the bulbs when they fall and you step on it, like it's mm-hmm. really, it's like
and
a,
then you get pregnant.
A stink bug.
Yeah.
That's how.
Yeah.
That's how.
Yeah.
You
and if
pregnant.
You wear a condom, it doesn't work.
That's how baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Condom and a pill, you're still screwed.
One of the reasons you should pee, both the dude and the lady should pee, is because while pre-cum does not have sperm in it, if they did not pee beforehand, there may be sperm left from their last ejaculation.
Whoa.
Like
really?
If you do two in a night or something. Like, but if you pee, it's coming out the same duct.
Right.
It will like clean it.
Oh, well, huh. I always pee after sex.
Yeah, and women should always pee. Women should always pee. That's how you like stop UTIs. Like just fucking pee after
just
you
pee.
Have sex.
See?
But the dude should do.
See,
if
I'm
you're
healthy.
Not
yeah, you
using
are.
Protection. Use protection. Like just use protection. Put on a condom.
Yeah.
Like, but if you're not, if you're doing like the pull out method, that will increase its chances
efficacy.
Of no babies.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
right. We're all. I'm in the no baby club right here.
Yeah.
It's my dream.
For the time being.
Oh, yeah. Once Trump got elected, I got that IUD up there real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want to tempt the gods.
I'm that maybe baby later kind
of
guy. Maybe baby later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Totally.
I just feel like I'll borrow my friend's kids.
I feel so bad for my kids because I'm going to be like, we're talking about sex right now, like while they're in the womb. Like Jacqueline Friedman's just like on cassette tape and I have like the headphones like around my belly. Like they're gonna be.
You're like, fuck classical music. This is what we're doing.
Here we go, guys.
Let's plug you. Can you tell us what you are doing now, what you're doing in the future, what's
where
coming
we can
up?
Find you.
What your Twitters.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter, Instagram, everywhere you want to see.
Twitters, all the Twitter, all the socials are at Awkward Sex in the City. Mine personally are, I think I just changed my Insta to like Natalie with like G in the front, like a Nat.
awesome.
Because like, why not?
Yeah.
I do it every month.
And we'll put all that information in the episode notes so people can find you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Oh.
Also, it'd be cool if anybody wanted to send in a cool, awkward sex story.
Oh,
please.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll read it. Email us.
Anonymously.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's very liberating, guys. Just email it, do it anonymously, or put your real name. It's real fun. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell us your weird shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, guys.
It was fun. Whoop.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here.
God damn it.
Doesn't sound right when I do it.
I know. Places you can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
We're trying to get 1,000 followers to tell your friends. And Twitter at Welcome to My Vag.
We also have a website, welcometomyvagina.com, which leads you to my YouTube page, also Welcome to My Vagina.
Uh-huh. And there's a blog section where I have posted a couple of things, but we're also looking for writers. So if you have interesting opinions, if you are a person who wants to break into writing and wants to share your voice, we're looking for diverse opinions, all sorts of different people.
We're basically looking for anyone who's not a cisgender man. We definitely want you guys to be allies, but right now we're looking for other voices.
Yeah. And also we love our white women peers, but we're two white women sitting here, so we'd love more diverse voices.
Also, thank you so much to our producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer of More Banana Productions. Please check out all of the work from this all-women network, including World Stealers, There Will Be Porn, I'm Listening with Anita Flores, and Awkward Sex in the City with Natalie Wall.
Yeah, More Banana Production is killing it.
Yeah, guys, we're kind of taking over the world. And don't forget to review us.
And subscribe and tell your friends.
Yeah.
And we're going to have merch soon.
Merch.
I don't know why that word always makes me think of Merkins.
Ooh.
Merkin merch.
Also, check out all of Rebecca's writing at franklyrebecca.com.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.
Yeah. All right.
See you next
Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.